Jarvis, drop my needle.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come.
Let earth receive
her king.
King, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a
Happy
New Year. Glad tidings we bring to you and your Hulk. Glad tidings for Christmas and a
Happy
New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hey, ho, 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 and here we go. It is the Secret Santa Story Exchange 2014. We presently have more people on the podcast than we have ever had for a Skype podcast. Actually, it's even more than we've had for the live panels where we can have as many people as we want.
Well, we're going to break Skype.
we're gonna break the internet just with one Skype call. I am Keith, the regular host of We Talk Comics. I'm going to roll around the screen based on who I'm looking at. With Chris the Duke Duker.
Hello. I just introduced myself. Hey, I'm Chris Duker. I'm the managing editor of GeekNerdNet.com, creator-owned focus site, interviews, reviews, all that good stuff, formerly of ComicBookTherapy.com for the last 4 years. And yeah, there we go. Had our big launch of the site today. So there you go. Hi.
Matt.
I'm excited.
I can tell.
I'm Matt Santori Griffith, Photo Cub, for those who know me on Twitter. I am the senior editor at comicosity.com, and I am super thrilled to be here once again.
Right.
Huh, I'm Brett Monroe, and I'm, you know, the home. What is it that you like to call me on the?
I like host, this, host emeritus.
Host emeritus, excellent. I will stick with that and continue to be that.
Chris Beck.
Yes, I'm Chris Beck, occasional co-host of the We Talk Comics podcast.
Jessica.
I'm Jessica Boyd, a co-host of Comicosity's The Hangout and a writer at Comicosity.com.
And Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Cook. You might know me from Twitter as Hello Cookie. I am the co-host of the Talking Comics podcast and the host of The Misfits, which is a sort of sister podcast to Talking Comics. So I do those things among many other things. So that's me.
Well, we're super happy to have you on.
Yay. Happy to be here.
Yay. The more the merrier. That's what I say.
Stephanie's
unless
first...
we break Skype.
Unless we break Skype. Stephanie's first time on the podcast. Jessica, has it been, 2 years since you were on last?
It's been a while. I think it's only been a year, but yeah.
A little busy with the weekly show you do. You actually get one out weekly, which is something we aspire to do after 3 years of plugging away.
Oh, come on, get on it.
We're finally taking our first breaks this fall. We finally actually took weeks off for the very first time ever. So that it's nice. Breaks are nice.
You're like your numbering is like the all new Marvel Now to our DC. you're pretty well caught up to us in numbering now, I think.
Yeah, we're pushing it into the I think we're about to be in the 90s or something as far as episodes go, but we're just I don't know, we're mostly just we're like you guys, we're hanging out and having fun and not really worried about anything else.
Well, this is the Secret Santa Story Exchange. Every year on We Talk Comics, we do a story exchange where we get a whole bunch of people to throw their name in the hat, and everyone picks a name and then has to assign a story. There's a Santa that organizes it all, that somehow keeps it all flowing. Everyone picks three stories in hopes that at least one of them the person has not read before. We don't want any rereading. We want them to be exposed to something brand new. So we're going to go around the horn again and do the book you were assigned and take a guess at who was your Santa, who picked your book. We'll start with Chris Duker again.
Sorry, it's the book first.
Book first, and, yes. And who guessed it? And who do you think gave it to you?
I got the book called Princeless, by Jeremy Whitley. It is a young author's sort of series for young adults. A graphic novel. And I've read half of it, and it's actually really good. I really like it. It's a lot of fun, and it kind of made me think of my daughter in terms of strong female characters in comics.
You're not doing the entire review right now.
I know. I'm just doing one little line, and I think Brett gave me this. It's my guess. There you go.
All right, Matt.
I read The 12. By J. Michael Straczynski and Chris Weston from Marvel Comics. And I think that Duker gave that to me.
All right, Brett, go ahead.
All right. What did I read? I read Riding Shotgun, Volume 1. That's on Tokyo Pop. And I am going to guess that Chris Beck gave it to me.
And I'm Chris Beck, and I read In Life by Cory Doctorow. You know what? I think, it's either Stephanie or Jessica. I'm going to say Jessica gave me this one. But that's just a shot in the dark. I don't think any of our regular followers or regular people I have more exposure to would suggest this for me.
All right, Jessica?
I got The Chair's Hiatus. And to be completely blunt, I have absolutely... Keith, were you one of the Secret Santa possibilities? Because you're the only person I know enough of that might potentially have me read this book.
I am one of the Santas, yes.
Okay, so you're going to be my guess as far as who gave this.
All right, Stephanie?
So I read Dave by Ryan Ferrier from Monkey Brain Comics, and this is the first time I'm talking to any of you, so everything is like a complete shot in the dark.
No pressure.
Okay, I'll give you some hints. So Duker, Brett, Chris, and I all know the writer from in person, and Jessica's had him on her show. And Matt interviewed him on Comic-Con. So that should help.
From listening to you guys talk about it, or talking about what you do, I would guess Chris Duker. But I don't know.
And I read Volume 1 of The Damnation of Charlie Wormwood, which is a Thrillbent book. Now being published by Dynamite. And I know I can eliminate Brett and Chris, because there's no way that they would not have made me read Old Man Logan. So I know that I can eliminate them. I'm going to guess Matt. So just going by odds here, tons of us are going to be completely wrong. either all but one of us is right, or it's going to be a train wreck. All right, Duker, now you can talk about the stuff with your kid and everything.
Go for it.
my daughter's 4, but when I was reading this, I've read half of it. I'm sorry, guys and ladies.
Way to drop the ball yet again.
You know what?
Less than you read last.
But you know what? If Mo's listening, I'm here. So, anyhow.
Are you drunk?
Merry Christmas, Mo. No, I'm not this time. That was 2 years ago. Anyhow.
It's like Christmas.
So Princeless. I didn't know what to expect, because when I bought it, I was looking at it, I'm like, I don't know. It was so outside of anything I'd ever read before, which is actually good for whoever was my Secret Santa. And it's got this strong female character. It's about a Prince Adrian who she's upset that she's going to be one of the stereotypical princesses put up in a tower with a dragon, and princes have to come and fetch her, essentially. She's been cast out by her family until a rich suitor and strong suitor can come in and rescue her. She decides to take matters into her own hands and take off with her friendly dragon now. And adventure ensues, and that's kind of where I'm at. But while reading sort of the first almost half of it, it just got me to thinking about, this is a kind of book that I would love to one day just put in my daughter's hands, because it sort of just goes against the grain of it's a strong young female lead, and I think that's pretty cool. So whoever picked it for me, kudos, because I didn't know what to expect, and I still don't, because I'm not done. Yeah, there you go.
All right, well, shall we reveal the Secret Santa, or do you want to wait till the very end, Keith? Did I lose Keith, or is Keith? It just
his lips are moving, but no, don't.
Oh, that's good. Sorry,
there he's back.
Muted it because I was eating grapes.
Are they crunchy grapes?
Not a euphemism. We'll
wow.
Will Chris Duker's Secret Santa please reveal themselves?
Would be me.
Yeah, I was gonna guess. See, you know what? What we found out is that I'm also wrong.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, I chose the book for Chris, partly because I actually think that this book is one of the absolute best comics for kids and adults. It like Chris was saying, it has an awesome female lead. Who really like breaks that sort of princess stereotype, which is one of my like personal grievances in general. And I knew you had a daughter, so I thought it would be a great thing to introduce you to.
Well, you nailed it. Nicely done.
See, that never happens when I pick for Mo. So yay.
You know, and just a quick side, the reason I picked Brett is because Brett, I think a couple of years ago, you wrote a piece on Comicosity about comics for kids, and it was very, very well written. So I thought, when thinking through it all, I'm like, oh, Brett probably gave this to me, and I was wrong.
And you know what? I in fact did do a write up on the very first issue of Princeless. So, you know, there would be. I mean, yeah, you could totally gather that. But ha,
you go. Well, good pick, Matt. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Apologies that I haven't finished it yet.
Matt, let's talk about the 12.
So I actually bought the 12 like 3 years ago, but I never read it because I have piles of things that I've never read. So going in, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know that I was totally convinced that I would love it, because my experience with J. Michael Straczynski is I'm about 50-50. So loved what he did with Night Owl, hated what he did with Wonder Woman, was okay with, you know, something, loved Brave and the Bold, didn't like his Superman. Superman Earth One is okay. But I found this really, really great. You know, the premise is that there's 12 Golden Age superheroes in the Marvel Universe, and it is set in the Marvel Universe, although not very closely tied, thankfully, who are fighting in World War II. And they're caught and defeated by a Nazi leader of some sort, and put into suspended animation for, I can't even do the math now, 60-some years, I guess, now, or more. So they wake up in basically 2010, and then they just have to live in the world. So it's very much like the Captain America phenomenon, except there's 12 of them. And what happens is there's a murder conspiracy mystery that happens among them. And it's really interesting. I mean, the characters are all, if I believe this to be true, are all original Marvel characters from that era. And I think probably the most recognizable would be the original Black Widow. You know, I think JMS really does a great job of, like, making each one distinct, sort of telling these personal stories. I mean, they have 12 issues to do this, so there's a lot of room for that. And, you know, I just thought it was really well structured and really great. The bigger part, however, that really drew me to it is that Chris Weston is the artist, and I'm a huge fan of Chris Weston. He's a British artist that I just have loved. He did The Filth with Grant Morrison. He's done, I think, Ministry in Space with Warren Ellis. And I just love how he draws characters, this sort of seediness of them. So especially like combining that with these sort of cheesy costumes, it really worked, because this could easily have just been like, you know, another all new Invaders or, you know, 1950s Avengers or something. And it really felt more elevated than that. So yeah, I really loved it. I was really glad to be forced to finally read it after I think I bought it when the last issue came out, and that was probably about 3 years ago. So
here we are, the Secret Santa Story Exchange, where we force people to read comic books.
I like force, yeah, force rather than recommend or encourage. Yeah. Force.
No, this is why this is one of my favorite podcasts of the year, because we all skip over stuff that isn't quite in our narrow focus, and it forces us to broaden out, and I just love that.
Right, and you know, people listening probably already know this, but this, you know, I'm not a huge Marvel fan. I definitely don't have Marvel history going for me, and but I am a big DC fan, and I've always been a Justice Society fan. So really, this is something that I should never have overlooked. Although, given what I've heard about the delays, I'm actually glad to have been able to read all 12 issues in almost a single setting, because it was just a great experience.
All right. Will Matt's Secret Santa now reveal themselves?
Good guess, Matt.
Yep. Well, because didn't Chris make you read this 2 years ago?
No. He made me read it 2 years ago. Duker just gives the same book over and over again.
I'll be honest, I totally forgot.
He's a one-trick pony.
Actually, what happened was I gave three choices to Santa, and then they all came back. And then I gave three more. And so the 12 is in there. And you know what? It just is what it is. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Glad you enjoyed it.
Oh. Just because it's because you struggle with the whole concept of the Secret Santa, I get it. You know, it's just.
I think you would be. I mean, Matt is the only person I know that gives Chris Beck a run for his money on just sheer volume of reading. So you'd be hard pressed.
You'd be surprised how much I have piled up, though. That's the thing. Well, Chris, you and I are going to have to talk about this because I only got one choice from the Secret Santa, and I had already read it. And so, and then they came back with only one choice again.
Yeah,
so
there must have been
edited out choices.
Yeah, there is edited out choices. You give the first one. If it's the first one, then that's great. If not, then it goes to the second one. You're not supposed to get all three.
I see.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Santa makes those decisions. Santa makes the call.
Brett, you seem to know a lot about this Santa.
Santa must have been drunk on Nog. Seriously.
When is Santa not drunk on Nog?
That's actually a good point.
He's really busy right now. You got to understand. I mean, he's got to get ready for other things.
Dude has a high stress job.
Are you saying Santa has a life?
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah,
he does. That's why he has elves.
Dude, and thankfully, he's associated with us.
He has a high stress job. It is the busy time for him. It's really, it's like you get it on opening night or you don't. It's not like he gets a do-over on Boxing Day for this. Anyway, Brett.
Wow, all right.
What'd you read and what'd you think of it?
What did I read? Well, I read Riding Shotgun Volume 1. And I'll be honest, when I saw that this was a Tokyo Pop comic, I was a little on the surprise side because it was just like, who would give me a Tokyo Pop comic? But then I started to read the I started to read a little bit about it. You know, it's just like sloppy assassins getting the job done. And so it's about Doyle and Abby, who are the sloppy assassins. And this is a world where assassination is legal, but you need to get licensed. And they feel like they should really be, you know, getting bigger money than they are. And they're not getting the big money. And so they go and they try to get the big money, which in turn winds up leading them into problems because, well, Doyle runs into his ex-girlfriend and it causes problems with Abby. And so you've got this action story mixed with a little bit of crazy, you know, love triangle drama. And it just becomes a psychotic, gun-toting, shooting-up, kind of crazy book. And overall, it was not the Tokyo Pop book that I expected. I really had this, like, manga vision going on in my head of, like, prehensile penises and stuff like that. Thankfully, there was none of those. I'll consider that a total win.
That does sound Christmassy, though.
Nothing says Christmas like prehensile peni. Yeah, but... yeah, I did enjoy the book. I blew through it pretty quickly and totally wanted to jump on to volume two. I thought it was a really good read. Flowed well, the characters were engaging, and I like the silliness of it. I definitely got into the action and the over the top silliness. So I do think it was it seemed like something that Chris Beck would give me, but stand on up, whoever it was.
Oh, yeah, it was me. It's fairly obvious. I've been pushing this book for over a decade, and no one ever remembers it.
I've forgotten the title of it again, Chris.
Riding Shotgun, once again. I love this book just because it is sort of the Crank 2 of the comic book world. And, I love Crank 2. It's just insane.
If you had pitched that to me beforehand, I might not have been as interested in reading the comic.
I just like the funness of this. And it's weird because it is a Tokyo Pop book, but it is by American creators.
It doesn't really have any of that. No, it's got none of those elements that I would have expected, for sure.
I picked it up on a whim, and I've loved it ever since. It's been my secret pick or overlooked pick for years, and nobody ever reads it. And I finally got the opportunity to force one of my podcast
there's mates the word force
to actually
again.
Read a book. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I love the book. So, but it's just crazy kooky fun.
It totally is. Yeah. Yeah. No. Total win. Yeah.
Chris Beck, let's do your review.
All right. I read In Real Life by Cory Doctorow. And there's a lot to like about this book. It's a story of female empowerment through the world of gaming, combined with a little bit of world economics. And he's really trying to explain how economics and gaming affects everybody. In an interesting, ambitious project. I really wanted to like this a whole lot more than I did. I really like the female empowerment through gaming. It's something I never really considered before. There are several facts presented in the book. Like, I didn't know female gamers typically do not play female avatars. Had no idea about that. My big problem with this book, and it could be me, just me, this is a pet peeve of mine. It suffers from what I call the pretty woman syndrome. Everything is so simplified, just like the movie's Pretty Woman, that you just forget the facts. The characters at the end all end up in happy endings, and as far as that goes, I can really think of several other books with female empowerment that I'd give to a younger reader. Really, this smacks of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, or, I mean, it's definitely meant for the Hunger Games audience. Maybe I'm just expecting too much, but really, in the end, I wanted to like it more than I actually did. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know who's on and who's off of the call right now. If Chris's Secret Santa is still on the call, reveal themselves.
Hey, that's me. Steph.
I'm Steph.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this book is, I recommended it because it's hands down one of the most important books that came out this year for women, and especially with like Gamergate stuff going on right now. I think it, what you kind of didn't mention is that it deals largely with bullying and what happens to people when they play games online. And it's a really interesting message to present to young readers in staying safe and, you know, having fun on, like, playing games online.
Yeah, no, I just found little things like the
hello? Hi.
Hey, dude.
Hey, Duke.
Sorry. I don't know what happened there.
I just found little things like the Asian gamers needing the call to strike from a 15-year-old white girl in North America, vaguely racist and oversimplified. And they didn't present any of the complexities of a strike, labor unions and like that. It was just completely glossed over.
If you're going to be fair, this is a book that you're presenting to teenagers. I think you would have lost your entire audience if you're like, let's make this book about a strike.
Yeah, but if you're going to bring those elements in, which he does, you have to explore them. You don't bring a gun without using – once you put a gun on stage, you have to use it.
How are you supposed to explore that if it's from her perspective, though, and through the internet?
Why have that at all? Why? I would have loved this book if they just stuck with the gaming.
But the majority of it is the gaming, like 99% of it.
But I found but the character of Aron.
No, I mean, if you don't like it, you don't like it. I'm just kind of.
I think what I want Chris's review. That was it. I find it vaguely racist. You know, Christmas. just throw in, you know, Christmas every once in a while. I will say, Stephanie, thanks for bringing this book, because I am a big fan of Cory Doctorow. I've never read any of his comics work.
This is the first thing I read of his too. I don't think I've actually read any of his other stuff. What else has he worked on?
Eastern Standard Tribe is the one that is like I've read. Several times, and it more and more it's becoming true. Eastern Standard Tribe is about online culture and is focused on this idea that people in your time zone will have more in common with you than people who are necessarily geographically close or family bonds. And as I grumble more and more about people ruining TV shows 2 hours before they've aired here. I am finding that. starting to really be unhappy with the East Coast.
Actually, I have a question. Stephanie, what's Gamergate?
Oh, God.
Brett doesn't spend a lot of time on Twitter.
No, I spend almost none right now.
Let's not get into this on a Christmas podcast.
I think there's a Wikipedia out there that.
Yeah, let's let's not go into that. It's just basically the tagline, I guess,
overtones
is ethics and journalism. But
yeah, Brett. Somebody actually asked me that question on Twitter today. Just go into my feed and find it. And
oh, okay. So there is no elevator pitch for this Gamergate thing.
Well, they want to say that it's like, I guess, to sum it up, they want to say it's about ethics in journalism. But I guess the larger picture is it applies to comics too. But in comics and games, there are gatekeepers, and a lot of the controversy is about these people who are being kept away from the games and being told they shouldn't be a part of this culture are saying, you're wrong. Everyone deserves to be a part of this culture. And there's just a lot of backlash. There's a lot of people that don't want that for some reason.
Now I get it.
And right, that was a very diplomatic explanation.
And yeah, I would flat out just say it's a bunch of guys threatening a bunch of girls who like gaming and write about gaming.
Yeah, like but Brianna.
I'm a lot Wu, more blunt about it.
Yeah, Brianna Wu today, she's a developer. Like she, a bunch of the Gamergate people posted up a photo, a comprehensive photo of her house, her car, and gave instructions on like the layout of her home, where she sleeps, how people can like look in her windows, and people are like threatening her and, you know, like rape and death threats to her and Whoa. Any other women in the industry, for speaking out. And basically, anyone who mentioned, like any girl that has mentioned Gamergate on the internet has wound up like, literally I just typed like stay strong to somebody who was, you know, at the forefront of all of this, and wound up with like a bajillion messages that were like, you stay out of this, bitch. La, 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 la. Like just people are crazy. They're crazy. That's basically the bottom line of this.
Fair enough. And I wonder why I haven't been on Twitter in a few days. But...
yeah. I mean, to be fair, it's a lot worse. I think if you're a woman and trying to speak out about it, there tends to be a lot more backlash.
Yes.
So you would probably be okay.
Yes, but I don't want to be okay.
No.
my rejected title for the setup episode for the Secret Santa was actually it's about Santa in comics journalism. But no one else got the joke. So
no, I definitely didn't get the joke. So
I thought it was funny.
I think it's hilarious.
Thanks, Duker.
Thanks, no Erica. Problem.
My target audience is not anyone that appears on the show. That's the problem.
Clearly.
All right, Jessica, it is your turn.
I had the Chairs hiatus, and I'm horrible about saying who these books are by. So I will let me look that up while I talk about the book. It's about a band who is no longer performing. Hence the word hiatus. Matthew Bogart. There we go. It's Matthew Bogart, and who wrote and drew the book. And so you come to find out very quickly that it is not a happy story. It is a sad story about resentment and anger and fear and then sadness and depression that follows. But you start at the sadness and depression stage. And from the art to the story and everything else. The major shadowing color used is blue throughout the whole book. So that pretty much just sets the tone from the very beginning. And it's almost, it kind of goes moment by moment through these scenes and then kind of makes big transitions between those scenes. And it uses nonlinear storytelling to go back and forth and explain why the people involved, Nell and Mary, are feeling upset with one another, and by proxy, Mary's ex-boyfriend John, whom you don't see throughout the entire book, but is an extremely important character. Well, I say that you see him at the very end in his own little one-shot style deal at the very end of the story. But I have to say, especially with it being wintertime and not seeing the sun pretty much all week, it was an extremely sad story to read. I'm laughing to cope with the sadness here, because it was, there's just these, it's, there's this tension that just kind of runs throughout. Well, first the sadness, and then once the two characters are face to face again, there's just kind of this tension throughout the whole book. And then when they talk about, you know, why they're upset with one another, and you know, one person feeling like the other person left, and the other person basically saying that they were, other person was already in the process of leaving and everything else. It's intense, and it's very weird how intense this book is, considering how, I'm going to say this, I'm not going to say it to sound derogatory at all, but there's very little that happens in this book. And yet, emotionally, it's this kind of big wave of stuff happening.
All right, well, Santa, stand up. Like a...
Who bummed her out?
Yeah, way to go, Santa.
I thought this was supposed to be Christmas.
It was me. It was Keith.
I knew it! Yeah. I knew it!
I'm sad that it made you sad, but I'm happy that it had an emotional impact, because it's certainly a book that it was. I found it. It was one of the books that came in the Comixology Submit bundle, and has since been made into has run a Kickstarter. We had Matthew on the show when he was running the Kickstarter. The book will ship sometime early next year, and he's doing a bunch of short stories. For the Kickstarter that will kind of expand on some of these characters, including the boyfriend character that you don't really see in the book.
They left that extremely open-ended. So I was just kind of like, well, that there's gotta be more here somewhere.
But. I mean, to me, it was, what really struck me was how much it felt like the non-action adventure parts of Strangers in Paradise, which is really why I thought that it might connect with you, Jessica.
Yes. Very. You were, spot on in your decision, because it definitely feels like a storyline that could have happened between Francine and Kuchu. So
it's been 6 months since we had Matt on our show, or Matthew on our show, isn't it, Keith?
I kind of give or take. I think it was like late summer, maybe August.
And I have to say, since I've read The Chair's Hiatus, it has stuck with me. I continually... use it as comparison to all the new indie comics I read. Really a phenomenal work. I just love it.
Yeah, and visit his website, because he's put up a couple of things since then, short stories and such. And there's some that are exclusive to Kickstarter supporters, and some that he did one that was a 24-hour project that he created an entire comic in a day, like without having written a word before going into it. It was a really neat. Neat experiment for him. All right, Stephanie, it's your turn.
So I was gifted, Dave by Ryan Ferrier, and it's from Monkey Brain Comics, and this was a very apt choice for me as a huge champion for indie comics and digital comics, so I was happy to receive this. Admittedly, I'd read the first issue when it came out, and I wasn't too thrilled with it. I don't know if it was just the mood I was in when I was reading it initially, but I sat down and got through all five issues this week and loved it. I don't know what I thought was weird about the first issue, but, I mean, Ryan Ferrier does Tiger Lawyer, which, I mean... if you know nothing else about that book, you'll know it's amazing. He's a lawyer, but he's a tiger. Anyways, but
that's fantastic, because we've done that on the podcast so many times.
It's yeah. Great
when somebody else does it.
I love it.
Oh, if Mo was here.
So Dave follows a fella named Dave, and he's going through the motions at, you know, crappy job, crappy life. His wife basically hates him. His love life is over. And, I mean, you kind of think, oh, that's bleak. And then to make things worse, there's no humans left in the world. So Dave is a robot. The robots have overthrown the humans. They've killed us all. It's like that Flight of the Conchords song, Robots, for anyone who's watched.
Oh, I love
Concords.
That. All love right. It. It's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, they've overthrown us. None of us left. And the robots, they don't want to ever become slaves again. So they conquer basically the universe. They take out anything that could possibly be a threat. And what happens at the end of it is they're a superior race, but they now have no purpose. So what they wind up doing is basically becoming human. And over the years, they get complacent and bored with life. It becomes mundane. They break down all of their defense systems because they don't need them anymore. There's no threats. And Dave used to be a hero, a war hero. And now he has to do a 9-to-5 job that he hates. And if you don't have a job, you're terminated. And, I mean, of course, for us, that just means you're a bum living in, like, a box on the street. But for them, it means that you are physically, like, dismantled, taken apart. You are done. Their jobs are their lives. And all he wants to do is be a hero again. So, lo and behold, a race attacks. And Dave has purpose again. But now he's old and useless. And kind of, you know, out of date. Because they're robots and they need upgrades. It's a great book. I loved it. I have no idea why the first issue didn't resonate with me. But although, like, you know, instead of saying, like, quit it, Dave, the wife will be like, Control-Alt-Delete! Control-Alt-Delete! Like, there's all these fun little computer puns and robot things that you pick up on that are just kind of, I don't know, what word I'm looking for. But it was a really great read and just full of lots of sarcasm and snark and mixed in with a really great story. So it's not exactly Christmassy with, you know, the end of humanity coming about. But it's great. Oh, and I mean, it's sort of a family story because they adopt a robot and he's a teenager and he's a bit of a dick. Their child, like, on day one is just the worst. So,
this is like most of our holiday experiences with our family.
Yeah, exactly. It's a metaphor. No, it's not. It's reality.
All right. So Steph had picked incorrectly who her Santa was. So will the real Santa please stand up?
It was me, because yay. Dave is puntastically awesome.
It was. There was lots of puns. It was excellent.
My favorite thing about Dave has to be the fact that anybody who is probably over the age of 30 can appreciate just how depressingly close to real life the story can get sometimes, despite the aliens and the robots and everything else. It's just, you get
you mean
to those,
there's not an alien invasion happening.
You can start having those moments where you're just kind of like, oh my goodness, that was my prime, that was my high point, that was my glory, and it's all going downhill now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. Well, thank you very much for recommending it. Now I can add it to the shelf, well, the metaphorical, like, air quotes, shelf with Tiger Lawyer.
For those that read print, you know, like it was the 20th century, it is going to be produced in print early in 2015.
I'm so excited. I've already pre-ordered it. Like, I've put it on my list. I said, whenever you get the code for this, just get it now.
There's one bit in that first issue of Dave that so sticks with me as the wage slave moment. It's when his boss walks out of the room and then comes back and says, remember, you're doing a horrible job. That moment has stuck with me for like a year now since over that. All right, well, I got The Damnation of Charlie Wormwood, Volume 1. Which was originally on Thrillbent. Whoa, what happened there?
Sorry. That's my email. lemon grab.
I thought there was some real excitement for that.
Yeah. Like, what is that?
Wow. Did you get a howler?
wow. Lost my choo-choo train of thought there. So originally on Thrillbent, so it was available on Comixology as a Thrillbent turbo format. The comics that I was a little concerned when I opened it up and it had 525 pages on the Comixology version. That was making me a bit concerned. but it is turbo format. It's now being put in print from Dynamite. Overall, I really, really like this book. It's about a guy who is, again, it's a wage slave story. It's a guy that's a teacher of continuing ed at a prison. And he's got a kid in the hospital and does not know how to make ends meet. His wife has had to leave her job to take care of their kid. The insurance is getting canceled at the prison, and a prisoner offers to give him some money if Charlie moves information in and out of prison. He doesn't have to smuggle anything. He has to remember things and then give orders to the prisoner's troops in the field, basically. I did really enjoy it. The one thing that I struggled with was, as a Canadian, what has become the white collars stealing bread to feed your kids story in the U.S. is so foreign to me. No pun intended. The commit crime because you have no healthcare story is so totally foreign to me. And so it does kind of like, it feels a bit Breaking Bad that way, that it doesn't, it feels like something copied as opposed to something that's a real experience. And I get that it's a real experience for people, just not one that I am immediately surrounded by. I did really like it. The first volume, it doesn't wrap up. Strangely on Comixology, there's a volume one and then there's one single issue after that. And then they've suspended it, I guess, because the either suspended because the Dynamite has started, or is it wraps up in that issue, and I haven't read that issue yet. But I will be, because I really like this. So I thought this was Matt because it was outside of the range that I would normally hit. It's not graphic novel, and it's not DC or Image, so kind of outside my wheelhouse.
I think it's super funny that you thought I would give you a Thrill Bent book. And I think you know why, but I won't get into it here. But it wasn't me.
Will the real Santa please stand up?
Well, I think by process of elimination, that just leaves me. And yes, it was me who gave it to you.
I'm capable of doing math today.
Yeah. It's funny because there are several reasons. One of the reasons is because I really wanted to give you something that wouldn't be in your normal routine, and I knew that this would be a good choice for that. I really liked it. It was at work one time, and I just kind of popped on it on the Thrillbent website, where it was just published in like little installments. And so I started reading it, and about 2 hours later, I realized that I was desperate to like make sure that I read every single one of them, you know, and did read every single one of them at work. So I was probably not a very good person, but I liked it enough to read it at work. And
all on approved breaks, though, right, Brad?
Yes, I have 2 hours of approved breaks, absolutely. But I thought it was great. And another thing that just really, really warmed my pitch black heart when I was giving you this was looking at the page count and saying, 500 plus pages. Oh, yeah.
Infamously, last year, Brett also had me in the draw.
Not last year. That was our first year.
First year, yes. And my assigned reading was the Death of Captain America Omnibus. So I had 25 issues to read.
And like the whiner you are, I've never heard the end of it.
That's right. So you assign me something with 525 pages.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, congratulations to Matt, Brett, and Jessica, who picked the correct Santas.
Awesome.
Santa, of course, cannot be with us tonight. It's a lot happening for that fat jolly fellow.
Well, he's fat.
He's not a terribly jolly, that's true. He's out there not reading comics right now.
But he thinks about them all the time.
That wraps up the official part of the evening. Does anyone have any time off over Christmas? Any Christmas reads coming up? Brett, do you have something you want to talk about?
No, well, I was going to ask, Stephanie, first time on the show, so it's have you enjoyed your experience so far with us?
Yeah, I wish I could have come into it with a bit more knowledge so I could have made a better guesstimation of who might have picked my book, but
you know,
it was a lot of fun. It was a really cool concept to do, and thank you for having me.
No problem. We like getting new people on the show. It's fun.
Yeah, it's always nice to talk to a new set of people. I mean, I do two podcasts that have been, one of which I've been doing for like 3 years, and I love it. But, you know, I talk to them all the time. I can predict kind of what kind of things they'll like, what kind of things they'll be reading. So it's nice to, I guess, step out of that comfort zone a little bit and, you know, hear about new books and what people are enjoying.
So you're saying that you listen to them, because see, that obviously is a problem on our show where people hand out the same books time and time again or mention things, and we're like, really, you've mentioned that? That's awesome.
Well, we've started to kind of attempt to make sure we're not talking about the same things over and over again, but it can be, sometimes you get in a funk, like you're reading the same kind of books and you're not really stepping out of your comfort zones. So something like this, where, as you guys have been saying, you're forcing books on other people. It's interesting because, again, like it's something you might not have read and you might not have picked it up on your own, or sometimes I can be judgy about covers or something, you know, like you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but sometimes we do. Or by the creator or artist. But yeah, no, this was really cool. So yeah, more of this.
No problem. We got,
you should have Secret Santa like every month.
Secret Easter Bunny.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a monthly thing where you force a bunch of people to read one book, you know, step out of their comfort zone regularly.
That's really counter programming to the Didn't Read It podcast, is the Force You to Read It podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
until
you know,
it gets spiteful, until you guys get in a fight and you wind up being like just picking the most ridiculous things that you know are the worst and they have to read it.
I think that would be a great show. Actually do it. Super serious.
I would actually totally be in on that. But then afterwards, then we'll have the show and it'll be called the We Talk Comics Hiatus.
Jessica, how did you enjoy your return, your glorious return to the podcast?
I'm just sorry I can't speak more. I'm still getting over my cold and the it hurts to talk thing. So I just wish I wasn't able to dish out more digs.
Morse code, just
well, lack the. Mo isn't here, so.
Well, you Mo's really never here when I'm here. I swear, Mo disappears the second he finds out I'm going to be on the show.
I tell you,
like,
I've never
Jessica's
seen.
Going to be here? Oh, I'm going to. Sorry.
I've never seen Bruce Wayne and Batman in the same place. I've never seen Jessica and Mo in the same place. just, you know, putting it out there.
Yep, that's. Wow, there's so much wrong with that.
There's so many horrible ways this could go.
Yeah, I really wish Jessica had a voice now.
I will say, you know, you talk about it being interesting with having new people here to pick new books, and here's my one dig. Well, you know, that's what happens when you get girls on the show, guys.
I like nice. Having girls on the show. I've wanted to replace Keith with a girl for, you know, the whole time, but
really nice. For longer than we've been doing the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
we that was a comment actually that was made at the summit last year. We have been making efforts. We're trying. to have the three of us and Mo, it's a scary place
Well, you know, the funny thing is that we do try, and sometimes we try too hard. Like Mo at the last expo, winding up just striking up a conversation with a couple of college age girls who were buying from our friend Connor at the Kill Shakespeare, and then trying to hand them his card to attempt to get them on the show, and it was just a little bit that wound up being a little more creepy than I thought.
You fucking kidding me?
Wow.
Sorry.
He's trying.
I will recommend the last couple episodes we had of the Beers on the Patio episodes, where we had Aaron Miller on, who is the writer of The Fantastic Where She Walks.
Yes.
And we're trying to expand our voices. The comment is heard.
We love y'all. You know that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
That's right. We are. It turns out we are pro-female. Yep.
I tell you, I cringe every time the word female is used instead of women. So glad we can have some females on the show. Sounds good. Doesn't really make the doesn't really land it the way I would like. So it's who has a holiday break? Because it's not a Christmas break to everyone. Some people, it's not a Christmas break. Who has a break coming up?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, I work from home, so.
So Stephanie, do you have a staff party coming up?
Yes, my cat is wicked excited. She's just like, she's got her ugly Christmas sweater picked out.
Nice.
No, actually, though, I just ran. I mean, I work from home, so I did. What did I do? I went and I was like, you know what would be fun? If I ran a Christmas party for all of the geeks in Toronto, that'll be not stressful at all. So a week after I had a trip to Europe, I threw a big party in downtown Toronto and just was like, hey, y'all show up. Cool. This requires no planning. So I did have a Christmas party that wasn't just, again, my cat. So it went well, shockingly. Or maybe not so shockingly. I don't know.
Was your cat pissed because she wasn't invited?
Oh, she was totally there.
Oh, okay.
She was playing drums on stage. It was great.
Nice.
I don't know. Sorry. I went like Josie and the Pussycats there.
I was just going to say that. Oh, my God. Damn it.
I think my cat would be Melody. Yeah. This is taking a weird turn.
well, many of us have cats, so we're a cat-friendly podcast, too. All right.
You invite girls on the podcast, and they just start talking about their cats, and, you know, it's great.
You're right.
Stephanie, I'll tell you, the track down Pirate Cinema and Eastern Standard Tribe. Those are the Cory Doctorow books I would most recommend. And his books are all available on his website for free.
Wow, nice. All right.
In ebook format.
Awesome. He does stuff amazing.
He does them, releases them for free, and then hopes that you will buy a copy for a friend or donate some cash, however you feel.
I think that's amazing. That's actually one of my favorite things to see creators do, is to give things away for free. Because for me, if I don't know an author, it's hard to take a risk. You do all the time. I mean, my room and all of the bookshelves I have are proof of that I clearly don't care about that. But sometimes it is. Sometimes it's hard to take a risk. And reading something that you might like and trying it out for free is a great way to encourage people to buy things for friends. I stockpile books that I love, and then I give them out to miscellaneous people. That's what I have. Like, I have, like, 3 copies of Hark a Vagrant in my, like, present drawer. And, I mean, That's a great coffee table book that I'll just give out to anyone. Yep. Nice. I feel so... I'm rambling. It's laden. It's... well, not late.
I got the shipping notice on Monday that the Futures End Month omnibus is on its way. That is my Christmas reading.
I saw that in the store today. Nice book.
What's the cover?
It's Superman.
Okay, so it is the image that they had out there. I didn't know if they were making a new one or not.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, it ships, so it should be here before the weekend, and I'm off all next week, so I'm off for 2 weeks.
Lucky.
There are the occasional advantages to working for a not-for-profit. One of them is that they send you home for a long time over Christmas. Every not-for-profit I've ever worked at has had Christmas off for a long break. Anything else people are looking forward to over the next little bit? Now we're all tired of talking.
What's this talking business? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I bought all kinds of awesome kids' books for my niece and nephew, who I will see right after Christmas, that are all DC comics, character books, but board books, and Super Dictionary, and all kinds of fun little things. So I'm looking forward to having them open those up and look at them. I also sent one of my other nieces, Ms. Marvel, Volume 1. Which, if anyone has a niece who is a teen or preteen, that is definitely a book to get. And, my little nephew, I got what would probably be the seventh or eighth copy that I've bought for someone of the, DC Comics Character Guide written by Brandon T. Snyder. My nephew swears by it. He knows all 200 characters in it, from Amanda Waller and Amazo all the way down to Zatanna and Zoom. Wow. And can name them all on site. And he is 3 years old. He actually could do it when he was two. And it's what's most hilarious is when he goes through and he's like, Shazam, Superman, Suicide Squad. And my sister's like, yeah, I'm not so thrilled about that one. I'm like, well, then why did you tell him what it said? He can't read.
Classic sisters.
Yes.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. It'll take us another 10 minutes to do the run around the horn as everyone plugs their stuff. Chris Duker.
Hi again. Hello. Hi, I am Chris Duker. I am the managing editor and co-owner of the just launched today geeknerdnet.com with a focus on creator-owned books. And as Brett would know, and all of you know that know me, amazing where I am now to where I was, say, 2 years ago when all I was reading was Big Two books. So really shaking off a ton of Marvel and DC over the last few years. I still enjoy the occasional books here and there, but there's so much stuff that people don't even know about that I don't even know about that I'm reading and I'm just stunned by. So I really wanted to do a site that focuses on that, interviews, reviews, and Kickstarters of the Month, all that kind of fun stuff. So yeah, it's just getting going, exciting, and you can find us on Twitter at GeekNerdNet, and also my personal my Twitter is at comic_Canuck. So there you go. Thanks for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Matt,
I am Photocub, FOTOCUB on Twitter, and please visit comicosity.com. We have a lot of great things going on. Today I wrote three reviews, two for books that I super, super loved and one for a book that I think is super problematic. So go and check that out. It'll be easy to tell which is which.
if you look at the Twitter feed, the one that is not tagged with the company name is usually the giveaway. Brett.
All right. Well, I'm Brett_WeTalk on Twitter for those rare times that I'm on it. But actually, it's interesting. Today, I wound up making some money for the Children's Wish Foundation because my company and our department puts on an auction every year. And so I decided that, well, what do I know best? Comic books. So I wound up raising $100, which isn't too much, but at least it's something for the Children's Wish Foundation. And I got lovely support from Alpha Comics and Renegade Arts and Entertainment throwing stuff in. So I want to give a bit of a shout out to them.
Oh, it's fantastic. Brett's doing actual hero work while we're just reading about them. Chris. Chris Peck. Is he still awake? Someone wake up, Chris. He's muted his mic again.
I've muted my mic again.
That's a Keith job.
Yes. I'm Chris _WeedTalk on Twitter. Give us a shout. And just so you don't think I'm a complete grouch, I'd like to recommend, if you like stories about female empowerment, Lumberjanes is a tremendous comic I'm reading right now. I'm also enjoying a manga called Food Wars that I'd recommend.
Jessica, what do you got happening?
I am at, excuse me, hold on a second. Sorry, guys. I am at Charming Red on Twitter, the mom who reads comics, and, also at the Comic Hangout on Twitter, and writing articles like the Heroes column for Comicosity.com, as well as reviews, hopefully more, once I get out from underneath all my students' finals that they're finishing for the semester.
And I'll just let you know that Mo texted me that apparently it's a rule when Jessica's on, Mo can't be on. That's according to the world, according to Mo.
Like a matter, antimatter thing?
Yeah.
Knew it.
It could very well be. I am afraid the world may very well explode if they come on the show at the same time.
It does explain why Mo looks kind of like Jessica, but with a goatee. Stephanie, talk about whatever's going on.
So as I mentioned, you might know me on Twitter, you might not. I'm at Hello Cookie, which is exactly how it sounds. That's actually my username on pretty much everything. So you can find me around places there. I am part of the editorial team for TalkingComicBooks.com. I do the Talking Comics weekly podcast. Let's see. I am the host of The Misfits, which is another weekly podcast with a couple contributors also from Talking Comics. It's comics, TV, video games, movies from a geek lady's perspective. But basically, we're just nerding out and talking about cool stuff that we love. I've just also launched a new podcast, which is an extension of an event I do here in Toronto, which is Toronto Geek Trivia. So I've launched a trivia podcast. The first one is just me asking questions, but in the next couple of weeks, I'll be recording a few more and having guests on and testing their geek trivia knowledge and having people play along as well. So I'm doing all of that. And, you know, other such things on the internet, which I often tweet about because my phone is attached to my fingers. So, yeah, thanks so much for having me on the show again. And Lumberjanes, it is awesome. And I think I had added this into my email if somebody had happened to read in real life, but The Adventures of Superhero Girl by Faith Erin Hicks is absolutely amazing. Great for young girls, and you know, it's dysfunctional kind of regular girl with superpowers living in a small town Halifax. So if you guys haven't checked that out, you should.
I'm on it.
He's probably buying it right now.
Yeah, I got it in my hand.
Don't buy it now. The download will slow down your Skype again. You can follow me on Twitter at Cub Reporter K. I have a long overdue piece for a book that I'm supposed to be writing, so hopefully that's what I'm writing over Christmas instead of contributing articles at anyone else's site. We are just a couple of weeks away from the Calgary Comic Creator Summit. We already have, there are more people confirmed now 2 weeks away than came last year. So we're way ahead. Some really interesting folks that are on the list, and hopefully we're going to shake down some more. And, the biggest challenge will be, how do we record that many people in one room? Check out our last couple of episodes. We had four creators on and four hosts, and still it's understandable, I would say, about 90% of the time. I was pretty impressed with how all that turned out. Creators of local comics, Futility and Where She Walks, both published in Calgary. And with that, we are OUT. The after party is at Stephanie's house.
But I'm totally playing robots at the end of this.
The distant future, the distant future.
It is the distant future, the year 2000.
We are robots.
The world is very different ever since the robotic uprising of the mid-90s. There is no more unhappiness.
Affirmative.
We no longer say yes. Instead, we say affirmative.
Yes, affirmative.
Unless it's a more colloquial situation with a few robo-friends. There is only one kind of dance, the robot.
And the robo-boogie.
Oh yes, two kinds of dances.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world. The humans are dead. The humans are dead. We use poisonous gases, and we poison their asses. Humans are dead.
Right, they are dead.
Humans are dead.
They look like they're dead.
It had to be done.
I'll just confirm that they're dead.
So that we could have fun.
Affirmative. I poked one, it was dead.
Can't we just talk to the humans? A little understanding could make things better. Can't we talk to the humans that we're together now?
No, because they are dead.
Binary solo.
0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001
Boogie. The humans are dead.
Once again without emotion,
the humans are dead.